From KMXT in Kodiak, this is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Maggie Wall. Halibut is in the news this week as American and Canadian policymakers come to agreement on how to manage that species. We have two reports on how the International Pacific Halibut Commission divvied up the harvest for commercial fishermen. The commission also set limits on charter operators. The halibut regs for 2019 will be similar to last year's regulations for both Southeast Alaska and Central Gulf charter boats. And the federal government shutdown continues to affect Alaska fisheries. Researchers wonder how the shutdown will affect the summer research season. All that coming up on this week's edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report, right after this.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund, supporting conservation and harvesting of Alaska's wild, sustainable fisheries.
After some uncertainty, U.S. and Canadian commissioners on the International Pacific Halibut Commission agreed on catch limits for halibut fisheries from California to Alaska. Disagreements over how much of the overall catch is harvested along the coast of British Columbia led to an impasse last year. And going into this week's meeting, commissioners still had not found middle ground. U.S. Commissioner Chris Oliver said he was happy the commission averted another disagreement.
I was very eager to do so because I feel like if we had come out of this meeting again with an inability to reach consensus, that it would be extremely negative in terms of, frankly, the reputation of this international management body and to the implications to our numerous constituents.
The main sticking point between commissioners was the percentage of the commission's current harvest policy allocated to Canada's lone regulatory area. The policy suggested that Canadian fishermen should harvest roughly 12% of the commercial catch along the West Coast in 2019. In recent years, Canadians have taken home roughly 20% of the catch, a number that U.S. commissioners say is too high. Oliver detailed the new agreement to set catch limits in Canadian waters over the next 4 years, which is when the commission is likely to revamp its harvest policy. The Canadian catch limit will mostly be determined by the recent historical average in Area 2B and partially by the IPHC's current harvest policy.
And for 2019, that equates to a share of 17.7%. We had a lot of discussions about the recent historical averages for that area versus using the apportionment model, and that was the what we believed was a reasonable approach to weighting those two factors moving forward.
That leaves Canadian commercial fishermen with about 5.1 million pounds for 2019, which is a slight decrease from last year. Overall, U.S. and Canadian commercial fishermen will be allowed to harvest nearly 25 million pounds, or roughly a 6% increase over 2018. The commercial harvest limit in Southeast Alaska will stay relatively flat at 3.6 million pounds.
We elected to move some of the fish from the other U.S. management areas into 2C to get them back to the level it was the previous year, basically in the interest of stability.
For a different perspective on halibut quotas, we turn to Alaska Fish Radio's Lainey Welch.
Contrary to all expectations, commercial halibut catches were increased for all but one Alaska region, the Western Gulf.
Estimates of the overall biomass are up based on some expanded surveys that they conducted here this past summer.
Doug Bowen runs Alaska Boats and Permits in Homer.
Unfortunately, the trends that we're seeing, declining trends in recruitment coastwide, declining trends in weight per unit effort, are ongoing. Of course, we're suffering from some weak year classes moving through the system. There's a couple of stronger year classes, at least they appear to be, 2011, 2012, that are just starting to show up in the commercial catches. I think the scientists are cautiously optimistic that we could see some stronger harvests as a result of those.
The coast-wide commercial catches, ranging from Northern California to the Bering Sea, were increased to nearly 25 million pounds. Alaska's share will be just under 20 million pounds, up nearly 3 million from last year. Southeast Alaska's catch was boosted by just over 1% to 3.6 million pounds. The Central Gulf gets a nearly 10% increase to over 8 million pounds of halibut. The Western Gulf catch was set at 2.3 million pounds, a drop of more than 11%. Bowen says the increases came despite concerns by IPHC Director Dr. David Wilson.
Any catch is over 20 million pounds coastwide, he feels, will result in a decline in the biomass.
The halibut fishery will open on March 15th and run through November 14th. In more good news for Alaska, next year's IPHC annual meeting will be held in January in Anchorage.
That was Alaska Fish Radio's Lainey Welch.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska fishermen and their families. MC@AMSEA.org or 907-747-3287.
Southeast and South Central Alaska Pacific halibut charter regulations for the 2019 season will be similar to last year's rules. Area 2C in Southeast Alaska will see the same one fish daily bag limit. Anglers can retain fish up to 38 inches or greater than 80 inches. There's also no annual bag limit for charter customers. In the Central Gulf, Area 3A, fishermen will be limited to one trip and two fish per day with an annual bag limit of four halibut. South Central charters will again face Wednesday closures all season. Operators will also be prohibited from booking trips on five Tuesdays between July 16th and August 13th, which is one day less than last year.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans, on the web at alaskaseafood.org.
The federal shutdown made waves last week at a major conference on Alaska's marine research that may have repercussions for the coming research season. While the conference took place after the government workers were back on the job, it was too late for them to get authorization to attend the Alaska Marine Science Symposium. Johanna Urich reports this meant that some of the most senior scientists in Arctic marine research were absent.
There were a lot of empty chairs as the Alaska Marine Science Symposium began in Anchorage last week.
Although the federal government has reopened, there have been statements sent to federal employees, or at least in most agencies, suggesting that they're not approved to attend here.
That's Matthew Baker, the science director of the North Pacific Research Board, which organized the yearly conference, a touchstone for most of the research that tracks the profound changes taking place in Alaska's oceans as the planet warms. The presentations included data not yet published, and scientists count on it to better plan their research during the coming year. The empty chairs and holes in the schedule showed what a major role federal research has in the Arctic, but organizers improvised.
Their absence is felt. Roughly one-third of our registered participants, speakers, poster presenters are federal employees, and most of the research presented, as well as the workshops, have some kind of engagement with some federal colleagues.
Volunteered to be the messenger here for Phyllis Stabenow and co-authors.
Jeremy Sterling was supposed to be here presenting this research, and for obvious reasons, he couldn't be.
So our final talk of this morning's session is by Louise Koopman from Oregon State, who is heroically filling in for her federal colleagues.
Everyone did their best, as on the podium, the absence of senior scientists became a familiar refrain.
Originally scheduled to be Patrick Ressler.
The Alaska Marine Science Symposium is not just any conference. Because the changes in the Arctic oceans are occurring so fast, this is the place to find out the latest from those doing the work.
They're all in one place. We don't have to travel to a lot of different conferences if you work on marine research in the North Pacific. This is the place to be, and if you've missed out on this...
That's Betsy Baker, Executive Director of the NPRB.
The value of those sidebar conversations that are going on around us now, during this coffee break, is immeasurable.
With a limited number of research cruises, this conference was a place of side meetings designed to get the most out of those resources. This year, with many major players absent, most of those side meetings were canceled. Some federal researchers made it to the conference anyway. Those who live in town just took time off. And those who lived out of town paid their own way, but were prevented from presenting their own work or representing their agencies. There was a funny moment when one federal researcher was sitting in the audience listening to a non-federal colleague presenting her work. At the end, he fended off the questions from the floor.
So she's available here to answer any questions you might have.
Other researchers were not so lucky. Some had data locked away in the offices of federal colleagues. Tula Homan presented some compelling work on eiders nesting in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta, but acknowledged that since half the team worked for the federal government, the data she presented was not complete.
They called back the first day they were back and were back on it, but we weren't quite able to wrap it up for this symposium, so we'll have to do another talk at the next symposium with the rest of the data analysis.
The government shutdown has pushed back deadlines for submitting proposals for future research. Some promised federal funding for the conference itself may never come through. It could have been worse. Winter is the off-season for most marine research conducted off Alaska. Molly McCammon, executive director of the Alaska Ocean Observing System, remembers a few years back when a shutdown came right in the middle of the research season.
2013, that was like October, November. There were cruises out, and some of the ships had to turn back because of the shutdown.
At least once last week. That shutdown back in 2013 forced a researcher to admit he could not answer a question because the data was never gathered. For KYUK, I'm Johanna Urich.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. 1-800-992-4960 or online at alaskaboat.com.
That's it for this week's edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report. We had help from Johanna Urich at KYUK in Bethel, KBBI's Aaron Bolton in Homer, and from Lainey Welch at Alaska Fish Radio. As always, a big thank you to everyone who makes our program possible, from the reporters around the state, to the radio stations that air the show, and to you, our listeners, which makes it all worthwhile. And remember, fishermen, stay safe and wear your life vest. They really do save lives. From KMXT in Kodiak, I'm Maggie Walsh.